Hello, and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Anne Chytis, author of a new book, Inspired at Home with Anne, with a subtitle, Create Warm and Welcoming Environments at Home Using Food, Flowers, and Interior Design. Anne, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Let's start by talking about your personal inspirations that got you into cooking and your book. How far back does it all go?
Well, probably when I was 5 years old.
Five?
My parents had seven children, and we all had responsibilities, and mine was helping out in the kitchen. And so I remember at a very young age watching my mom and helping her prepare meals. And then as I got older, my responsibilities in the kitchen grew a little bit, and I started doing more cooking. And in my 30s, I decided to go to cooking school.
Okay.
And then I did catering on the side for a little bit and some freelance work.
Well, it's good for all of us. Your parents didn't give you the yard work chore, right?
Yes.
So what inspired you to go from helping out, going to cooking school, into writing a book?
Well, the main reason was I wanted to keep all my recipes in one spot. As many cooks know, you have recipes written on paper, some are in my head.
I've got a binder that's right chock full.
So originally it was just going to be a cookbook so I could have all my recipes in one spot and to hand down to my family members and my son. And then I also went to interior design school. And I've been a member of the Bethlehem Garden Club for 27 years, so I decided to do all my passions in the book rather than just having it a cookbook.
I was going to say that because looking through the website, and you brought a copy of the book for us to take a look at, when you hear a cookbook or a cook that's writing a book, you think, well, this is going to be a bunch of recipes, but this is really goes far beyond just recipes.
Yes. There's a lot about gardening, container gardening, how to plan a manageable vegetable garden. There are interior design ideas, table setting ideas, ideas for decorating for Christmas, gift wrapping, decorating your home, your tree. As my editor friend says, it's kind of one-stop shopping for someone who likes to make their home a warm and welcoming place.
Well, that's one of the things I found fascinating about the concept. You go to any bookstore and you see shelves and shelves of cookbooks that are laden with recipes and techniques, but there aren't many that get into the environment that really surrounds the food that you serve, even though eating is really a completely sensory experience. So how much of an influence do you think does environment have on our ability to enjoy food?
Oh, it plays a huge role. For example, just the gardening aspect of cooking. One of the reasons I have a vegetable garden is because there's nothing like fresh food picked straight from the garden.
And how about the influence of flowers?
Well, I if you look through the book, especially with the desserts, I garnish many of my desserts with things from the garden. Seasonal flowers and herbs I use as garnishes.
And those are things that you would grow in your own garden,
yep,
or you find locally?
Yes, mostly in my garden.
Are there certain things that inspire you to put certain flowers or certain herbs with the dishes that you make?
Sure. I usually, if I'm creating a dish with a certain herb in it, I will usually garnish the dish with that herb. For example, I have many containers of chives, and I use chives in a lot of things, and they have a pretty flower when they bloom, so I'll use the chive blossoms and the chives as a garnish.
Now, hopefully I don't show my ignorance. Are those the kind of a pink, kind of a spiky little round type flowers?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Hey, not
very
so bad.
Good.
Yeah, score one for Mike here. Tell us about the contents of the book. I saw there are five chapters, and I was intrigued that dessert was first, which has to make a lot of people happy.
Yes, well, I put dessert first because I think I'm most known for my desserts. Just to give you a little side story, I was involved with Moravian Academy's auction for many years, and one of the years I donated three of my desserts in the silent auction, and they put a price at $90, and someone bought them for $90, and the next year they put three of my desserts in the live auction, and someone bid $1,200.
Holy moly!
Desserts. So, and also that's probably my most favorite thing to make. I can express my creativity more in desserts than other things. Although I do like cooking and baking, you know, typical things, but dessert's probably my favorite.
And talk about the process of writing a book like yours. It's a fairly large book, a lot of photography. How long of a process was it, and how'd you start, and how'd you finally conclude it?
Well, I officially started it 8 years ago. As I said, it was going to just be a cookbook, and then I decided to put interior design and gardening and flower arranging in it also. It was a process of just starting with the recipes. There's five chapters, and there are recipes in every chapter. It was getting the recipes, my favorite recipes, together, writing them down, having them typed up, and then going through the process of making them and taking pictures of them. And a lot of the recipes in the book have step-by-step instructions with pictures to guide you through the whole process. So after taking the pictures and then organizing them for the food, that was the first thing. And then I started with the gardening and the flower arranging. And that was just kind of seasonally going to the garden, taking pictures as I plant and as I harvest. And then there are holidays in the book, Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas. And then, of course, at Christmas time, I would take pictures of my tree and other people's trees and packaging, etc.
And where do you find inspiration for your recipes?
A lot of them came from my mom and my grandmother. Some are from old friends. Some I made up. Some friends gave me. Some I had written on napkins that I don't know where they came from. A lot of my inspiration also came from Food Network stars like Martha Stewart, Ina Garten.
So you really take all these inputs from history, from current friendships, and from things you see around and turn them into your own style.
Exactly. And that's what the book can do. You can use the book as a guide, but you can put your own style in it and change things around and make it your own.
Now, speaking of style, what are some simple things that people can do either around their homes or around their table to kind of enhance those environments that we're talking about to make whether it's an everyday meal or whether they're entertaining?
Well, one of the first sentence in my book is surround yourself with things you love. So I would start first with put out the things that you really like, and don't keep your good china, if you have good china, in the china closet all the time. Use it. Setting a nice table is just a matter of being thoughtful to the placements of the napkin and the silverware and the color of the dishes and the tablecloth. And a centerpiece is always nice to enhance the look of the table.
Now, when you do something like that, do you tend to think of not just what you have in the garden, but what you're serving, the type of people that you're having around, or are there independent thoughts and like, hey, I'm just going to do what I think feels right today?
Sometimes it's just a spur of the moment decision, mm-hmm. but again, it depends on who I'm inviting, how formal or casual the occasion is, and again, the time of the year also dictates the menu.
Now, we talk on the show with so many professionals, you know, chefs at restaurants and winemakers and bakers. But I think also when we talk about like a Lehigh Valley food scene and a Lehigh Valley food way, that home cooking becomes part of that as well. And I was kind of curious into your perspective on what role cooking at home has in a local food culture.
I think cooking at home has been getting more popular every year, just with the rise of the Food Network stars and, you know, all the celebrity chefs. They're making cooking more appealing to the everyday person and more manageable. It's my style isn't the real fancy gourmet style. I'd rather go to a restaurant for that kind of food. My cooking at home is pretty much just good home cooking. Sometimes I will do fancy things, and there are some fancy things in the book, but generally I stick to everyday manageable food.
Well, I think even though people are maybe cooking more, or trying to cook more, you still have a lot of people out there who say, I don't cook, I don't like to cook. How do we combat some of that resistance and get more people comfortable in the kitchen and enjoying food together?
Well, people who say they don't like to cook, maybe part of that is because they don't know how to cook. And Inspired at Home with Anne gives a lot of basics that anyone who doesn't know how to cook, if you can just read and follow the recipe, you should be able to handle that. And again, you know, the environment where you're cooking, sometimes if you have a nice kitchen or if it's the atmosphere in your kitchen is really nice, you like to spend more time in there. So I kind of make my kitchen a place where I just like to look at and it feels good being in there.
And what might be some of those techniques for someone who is either resistant to cooking or is just starting to get in there that might be found in the book?
Well, the recipes that I have, except for a few, are pretty basic. And everything is self-explanatory in the recipe. And if you just start to read it, you'll realize, oh, well, I can do that. I can measure that. I can mix that. There aren't any obscure terms that the normal person would not understand.
Not going to find the word emulsion?
No, you're not.
Or the Maillard effect or anything,
no,
right?
No, none of those are in the book.
Yeah. Sauté until brown.
Yes, exactly.
I'm wondering if one of the issues is that there are so many options right now. I mean, you've got supermarkets that have all this prepared food to go. You have restaurants that have curbside pickup. Has it become too easy not to cook?
Oh, for sure. It has become very easy not to cook. But the nice thing about prepared food is, for example, if you're making a chicken pot pie and you need to cook the chicken, which is a long process, cooking it and then, you know, deboning it, and you can go to the store and get a prepared chicken. And I do that occasionally, too. I don't cook everything from scratch 100% of the time.
Right. You can pick up that rotisserie chicken, turn it into pot pie, exactly. Turn it into burritos, turn it into whatever.
Exactly. Or do a main dish and get your sides at the grocery store if you don't have time. And again, cooking takes a lot of time. So if you don't have the time, take the shortcut.
Right. No, in addition to the book, you teach classes at Northampton Community College?
Yes, that's correct.
What do you teach there and why?
I have two classes coming up in the fall, one in October and one in November. The one in October is sweet and savory appetizers using prepared puff pastry. And the one in November, which is close to Thanksgiving, I'm doing a pumpkin roll and a pumpkin cheesecake. And I decided to teach just to, because I've taken many cooking lessons. I went to cooking school, plus I've taken lessons in the area and abroad. And there's always something new to learn, and why not share what you know with other people?
And have you been doing that at Northampton for a while?
I started maybe 7 years ago, and I cooked a couple years, and then I took a couple years off while I was doing the book, and then I did a big event for community college where they won the non-credit cooking class program, won the style Lehigh Valley Style Award for best cooking class with new tricks, and I was asked if I wanted to cook 500 pieces of dessert for that event, which I did.
And you said yes.
I did. And afterwards, I was shaking my head, thinking, I'm not sure why I did that, but it was good exposure, and it was fun, and it was a great success.
Well, I find in life, a lot of those times you say yes to something, and you think you're going to regret it. A lot of times you don't. Well, we appreciate you saying yes to coming on the air here.
Well, thank you. Again, thank you for having me.
I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Jill Oman, executive chef and general manager of McCarthy's Red Stag Pub in downtown Bethlehem, which has been serving up food from Ireland and the British Islands for more than 20 years. Jill, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thank you for having me.
So McCarthy's Red Stag Pub actually got its start in 1997 as Granny McCarthy's Tea Room and Bakery. What are some of the changes that have been happening over the last 4 years or so, which culminated in becoming a full-fledged restaurant?
Neville had to decide whether or not there would be money in tea.
And that's Neville Gardner, the
longtime
owner, right?
Correct. Yeah. He had to make a decision on whether to fold. He actually thought about it for a second, or spend the money and get a liquor license. He chose the entrepreneurial that he is, to buy the liquor license. And the rest is kind of history, because we've had that, you know, since October of 2013. And since then, it's morphed into a pub with being open 7 days a week,